Time this hour is a period of time for inquiry. I'll take a couple of minutes to give a little outline of the period of time. So, as you can see, a couple of meditation cushions there, and anyone who wishes is very welcome to come and take a seat and some dialogue, exchange, inquiry gets underway. And Stephen, in his lovely talk this afternoon, was reminding us of the great importance of inquiry, which there are many kinds, from reflections to question and answers to dialogue to the discourse, and to two people meeting together to look into some area of life. With the time of the inquiry, it may last with the person just a few minutes or half an hour, whatever time seems appropriate. And the intentionality is not to come, in fact, to any kind of solution or answer or resolution at the time. It's not focused in that kind of way, but through the exchange that takes place, may help for both people, in fact, to move the inner life a little bit, and sometimes during the time, possibly, sometimes immediately after, or days or weeks, sometimes years later, some understanding or recognition or appreciation come. So it's not all trying to fit it in the short period of time. With the inquiry times that take place, there's of course the invitation for you to, as the Buddha said, to, nice phrase he uses, lending an ear. Not demanding discipleship, it's just asking people to lend an ear. And so in your lending an ear, which means the listening, that in the act of the listening, there's the listener, there's listening, listened to, that in that movement to our ears, sometimes something responds, it touches us, it's valuable for us. So it's a process which, in fact, everybody is concerned with. And sometimes different places and different countries have their own features. And one of those, if I may say, in Israel, it happens more than anywhere else. Family issues do tend to arise. They don't arise in Europe because there aren't any families left. Everybody has fled from each other. But here in beloved Israel, it's a rather small country and it's not too far you can go. Life is easier in Europe for that reason alone, I would say. Anyway, so we're not therapists. I also should get in that quickly as well. But the dynamics of role and relationship are important. My small request is that a person comes up to touch upon family matters. You're, of course, invited, with the agreement that the next person who comes up doesn't. See? Because not everybody who is lending an ear is interested in the family dynamic, etc. And some of you might be surprised to know that there is life outside the family. All right, enough from me. So, and I'll just check with you, of course. There. So sometimes with the teachings, the talks, the instructions, your meditations, areas which are important for you, sometimes in the general Dharma itself or in one's own direct inner experiences, extremely welcome to come and take the seat at any time, after a few minutes or longer, as I said. The person or myself can say thank you, and that's the signal to bring the inquiry to a close. Then we have a couple of shared minutes together in the silence. And then I'll extend another invitation and another person may come. So this is the flow. So anyone who has anything you'd like to touch upon this evening, you're extremely welcome to come. And I'll check with you that it's okay for the recording. If it's recorded, it's in the public domain. Goes anywhere. And if you prefer not to be recorded, just let us know. We switch off. So anyone who would like to come. Yes, please come. Yes, hey. With the recording, it's... Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
I don't know, Mark.
Yeah, and we have to remember that the good ones at the back need to hear our voice. And if sometimes we are too quiet, please, it's a little bit hard to keep the voice up and explore. So. Do feel free to come and sit much closer to us. Yes.
I'm not sure what my question is.
Can you hear? Not sure what my question is, or the words.
Maybe I'm starting something about inquiry.
Itself, yeah.
Yeah. I find that with practice, I lost interest in stories.
Yeah, nice.
It's my stories and other people's stories. It sometimes is a problem, same time. Mm. I work as a therapist.
Go on.
And I find a lot of things opened up in me with the practice, with the Dharma teaching.
You have to bring the chairs closer, I think, if you want to hear easily. So it's not a strain on the good speaker's voice.
But I'm not sure that I know what inquiry is.
No. So far there are kind of two aspects there. One is about the story, and we could in fact do, and what's out of the story or not of the story, and we could do some inquiry into that, or just look at inquiry. Do you want to look at your loss of interest in stories, or look at inquiry? Tell me.
For me, they are a bit connected.
They are, I'm sure, of course.
Because, you know, when I sit and meditate, and so something, a thought comes up, or
yes,
a story comes up, and I'm not interested in
no.
it anymore. So yeah. Sometimes I ask myself, well, maybe I should inquire into it. You know, why did this story come up? Or,
yes. No. So... if we just keep with the story, so as you said, in daily life as well as here, some story which usually involves some memory, some influences from others, sometimes particular time and places, some kind of event. And you're experiencing, which I think is actually valuable, some loss of interest in the experiencing or the creation or the identification or the support for the story. When there is no story going on, what's the general sense for you then?
Peace.
Peace.
Sometimes, you know, I feel much more. You know?
Yes,
I can feel very sad for a few minutes and then very joyful, and then, you know, I have feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
That to me, more than before.
Yeah, lovely.
When I loved stories.
Yes. So, sometimes with regard to the past, consciousness has an attraction or reaction to the manufacturing of the stories and to which arise in our life. There is some fading away, and currently what you notice especially is the feeling element and the different qualities of pardon me, of feelings there. Anything else which is noticed? What is the value when a human being, when you are not engaged in any kind of personal story, that's not in the consciousness, then what?
Right.
So, when the personal story drops out, it drops out of awareness, it drops out of consciousness, there is no interest to bring one up.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves one, as it were, closer to something else.
I feel closer to the world.
All right, nice. All right, good. So there's the feeling there, the world is getting closer. The story isn't in any kind of barrier. It's not a filter there. What does the world mean for you without a story about it or about you?
Beautiful.
Eh? No, positive feeling. Yeah, it is. All right. So the story goes out. The response to the world is the recognition of beauty, which is the confirmation. Love is the confirmation of love. To see beauty is a confirmation of love.
I was going to say love.
Yes. All right. So the heart can move more easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just involved in the story there. Love is there, and the world is more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
No filter there. All is fine. I'm not looking for any particular answer. What else comes to you when we're not in a story? Not in the personal story. Not in the world of I and us, me and mine. What else is standing out? Heart is talking. Yeah, it's love.
And the flow, something of like the change of feelings of.
Right. So when I was speaking to someone just the other day here, just about my time as a monk, just to reflect, the Ajahn Thamhattaro, he was the Vipassana teacher in the monastery, and a fairly strict regime from 4 in the morning till 10 at night. And I spent the first 3 years of my monk's life in the monastery there. And He knew I was English, and that's all he knew. He had absolutely no interest in my story. I mean, 3 years, I don't think he ever once asked. It just wasn't, stories were not his thing there. What might be the value, because I had a few stories.
yes, I have too.
Yeah, exactly, yes, right. But what would be a deep inquiry without a story in it?
This is a nice question.
I know, I'm avoiding answering. what would it be for a therapist, you and I in this case, to what would we inquire into if we haven't got a story?
Feeling.
Oh, you have a feeling. Yeah, nice. All right. Very good. All right. Feelings of love, the feelings of seeing of beauty, and of course some sadness, as you mention, and that all belongs to the deep. And the deeper we go, in fact, the less influence of the story there. With the depth, could you say without reference to feeling? So there is the appreciation of love, of beauty, a touch of sadness, and then you mentioned a little bit about flow and change. Could you expand on that a little bit, just to bring something through?
I can feel it within me.
Yes.
All the time, and there's sadness, and then there's joy.
Yes.
And things always change. Right.
So there's the movement of the feeling life, as you said, of the sadness and the joy.
Body sensation.
And the body sensation that there. And then there's the recognition, which is important, of course, of the appreciation of the changes which are taking place. What's significant about it when there's no story involved? So there's just changes going on. Some of those deep feelings that are being, are emerging, and a part of those changes and that unfolding process, that flow which is going on. What's significant of, to recognize it without any story around it?
This is, I don't know, this is
truth.
This is what is.
Alright, okay, yeah. So there's a sense that one's own personal story, I am with name, like Stephen said, our one's identity, our various roles, the family history, the national identity, and all the other ones that we have. All this is in a bit of the box around here. My story, who I am. One's losing interest in that, learning, sensing that there's something important about seeing without the personal, which is of course a major emphasis and teaching of the Buddha, to see without the personal story there. And then a sense of unfolding process going on with, as he said as well, various feelings, love, beauty and sadness, all of that moving with the rhythm. Back to the question, what's significant about that seeing, and seeing the kind of simple truth of things unfolding, shall we say, without anything personal about it? Because the personal story is gone, the personal history, the personal identity, that's just not in the there. That picture is out, that story is out. What's then significant? You already said some of the things. I just want to hear some more.
I know a lot of side benefits of it.
Yes.
I'm more friendly. I feel more close
yes.
to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel less special.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Lovely. So. I bet you're a good therapist. You love the feeling world. I mean, all of that is true. There. So, what I'm hearing is, and it is vitally important, and it's a key Dharma word here, there's a greater sense of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in the story we're cut off from. We're just so involved in our little story there. And there's less specialness, because to feel special, one has to identify with one's story. How important I am, or nobody. It's also a kind of making one special in some way. So less special, greater sense of intimacy with what is unfolding. The personal is not there. What's precious when the personal is not there? Deeply precious, deeply significant. Hang around, we've got plenty of time. Hang in this case, literally. It will come. What's precious when the personal, which is the story, is not present? You said some. Stephen Red, is that from Four Quartets or somewhere else? The Lines of Tears? It has to be, doesn't it? It has to be. I mean, I wouldn't dare try and remember what T.S. Eliot says, you know. I mean, in my world, he's in the gods. But I do remember something about the unknown. What was the unknown?
Through being unknown.
All right. Mm. All right. So this is what's happening now.
Eh?
And it says, I don't know. The I doesn't know.
No.
It doesn't know. So see, it went still with there, letting consciousness rest in the unknown, not as any final place to be. So just rest with the unknown, see what moves its way through you.
I think the unknown itself is precious.
It is. What makes the, it is precious. What makes the unknown precious? Don't help her.
Trust.
You're not a second-hand person, come on.
Go back to feelings. I feel more open to mystery.
All right. Yeah.
What I don't know.
So just to track the rhythm a little bit, if I may, that lots of interest in the story, and that brings a greater sense of closeness and intimacy. With the loss of the personal, because the person is the story, which is the known, that begins to drop away, and exactly human being then begins to sense in the deep the sense of the unknown. There is a real sense in the feeling life, which is important, of something very precious about the unknown. There's a certain humility. There's a certain purity about it, a certain innocence as well, and perhaps most importantly of all, there's a certain receptivity there. And some expressions of that receptivity is the love, is the beauty, is the intimacy, all of that's coming through the unknown there. And it feels, come back to Stephen's lovely talk, authentic. You're not, you know, it's not conceptually worked out. It's authentic because it's got the deep to it. And there's some, and because it's authentic, it feels true. The unknown and the innocence and the receptivity and the intimacy, it's true in the moment. Anything else which is true? Remember, I'm never looking for a single answer. No. Yes, yeah, but yeah, the deep is beyond the world of the rather mundane world of fears and control. It's another dimension or there. Say a little bit about the truth of the experience. Touch upon truth with this.
Something about being at ease with the unknown.
Yes.
Not trying to know the unknown.
All right. The important element here, I agree, it's not trying to know the unknown in some conceptual way. Yeah, so there's some inclusion or acceptance or and the knowing element is important. In just the bare knowing, there, and also in equally knowing all those responses, in this case, your case, very much in the feeling life, in the bare knowing there, is there any limits to all that you've been speaking about?
No.
Nice. What's precious about knowing there are no limits to what you've been speaking about?
This is what is
great. Yes,
all right. There are no limits.
Yes, all right. Beautiful. Okay. So that recognition, and that is precious, to know, an absolutely wonderful response there, to know there are no limits. why is it that we get lost in the personal story, which are always full of limits? Limited by what we know about it, limited by memory, limited by our views and opinions, limited by the people that we've had contact with. Why do we want to live in such limitation?
Because of fear.
Exactly. We hold. The fear is the holding factor. And Dharma is getting deeper than the story, to that sense, as you said, of the limitless, the fearless, the intimacy with. Thank you. So we'll have a couple of quiet minutes and then I'll make another invitation. Yes, anyone, any time. Yes, sir, please come. Okay with the recording?
No problem.
No problem, okay, nice.
I do have a story.
You do have a story, all right.
Okay, I'll post it briefly.
Don't go and see her. Wicked, wicked. Teasing. Go on, yes sir, go on.
About 8 months ago, I had to close my business.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I lost most of my capital. Mm. Ever since I tried to... to come back and to my elder way of how do you say, making money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I'm not passionate anymore about it, and I'm not passionate about any way of at the moment.
No.
And I see a lot of anxiety about it.
Yes.
So the story is that I lost passion for. For career, for work.
Yeah.
This is the story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm very right. worried about it.
Mm. Right.
I'm smiling, but I don't feel.
No. All right. Fair enough.
I'm not
deceived. Would you say, let me ask, in terms of passion, which is so vital and important, that when you reflect back over the past, is it that it had primarily gone into work and then and everything else, whatever, relationship or family or life outside of work was secondary, or was the passion equally spread out? How is it, what would people who are close to you say about your passion?
Good question.
Give me a good answer.
Most of my life, it was unbalanced.
Unbalanced.
Yeah. The passion was 90% of my career.
Was it?
Yeah.
And
it has changed recent years. But
yeah. 90. Right. Were you able to hold down any relationships living like this?
Most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah. Meaning.
Meaning I have divorced because of my career.
Yes. It's a common phenomenon with me.
Yeah. You can say because, but.
Yes. If there isn't the, if it's 90% and the poor wife is getting maybe lucky 10%, something's going to.
Yeah.
And there. So. Good wife said enough, and she left. So after that, it was 100% or like.
It has totally changed.
Yes.
Totally changed. In the beginning, it was the opposite, but after about a year, I found a way, and I think I want to keep it this way,
yes.
Much more balanced. But at the moment, as I said,
How long ago was it that in the whatever your financial circumstances? Underwent a major change for you and the work or?
Eight months ago.
Only 8 months. Mm-hmm. And the 8 months ago, was it, a complete meltdown of the business? Or is it just struggling or it's finished and it's history? Where is it?
It's history.
It's history. It's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how long had you been working and developing and building it up?
2.5 years.
Yeah. So, which seems quite short, 2.5 years.
Yeah, it's a startup. It's a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Right. So, as you will know, it is a smaller percentage of startups that succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Vast majority just don't get through the first 3 to 4 years, and especially in these kind of times. Was the loss, having put so much energy in over the 2.5 year period, and then to see that it came to an end, was it very painful, or was it a shrug of the shoulders, or was it depression? What was the feeling when you knew the business would not? How much impact on the emotions did it have?
It was a gradual process. In the beginning, it was trying to find alternative.
And, yes.
I repressed the emotions.
Yes.
In the first few months.
Yeah.
And then they came up. So
yeah.
I think I experienced also the,
yeah.
the bad
side of the difficult. Of the, yes. Given there's a loss, and one, as it were, couldn't bear to feel there, so sometimes one does things, makes oneself very busy, or whatever it might be, to keep away, then, of course, the shell inside at some point begins to crack. The emotions and the pain and the loss can begin to shine, to move through. Currently, presently, is the general feeling that you've moved on from it, that it's history, you're relatively at peace with it, or is it still sleepless nights?
No, it's not sleepless nights.
No.
I had this phase of experiencing the failure.
The failure.
I don't anymore for the last 2 months.
No.
It's all about, I think I made a way regarding the failure issue because, as you said, startups,
yes,
yeah. And I had one good, I had one bad.
Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah.
So I knew I had the variety of the experience of this realm.
Yes, yeah, so you
domain.
Know.
So,
it's
yeah,
vulnerable.
So the objective point of view very much helped me,
yes,
to let it, this
good.
Go.
All right, good.
The issue at the moment is that I am not interested to do anything.
No.
Nothing interests me. Nothing.
Yes.
I'm not passionate about anything. And this is the thing that
I can hear it
drives my words.
Yeah.
Yes. That's,
yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Just last question. Just the Buddha in mindfulness and awareness constantly encourages, in terms of the inquiry of what's literally the tracking of the process. What's the sequence in the inner life? And just the last question on that process. You said 2 months ago it changed. Or
mm-hmm.
a couple of months. What happened? Did anything particularly happen? Or was it just a fading away and you realized it 2 months ago?
No, I just got fed up of being, attacking myself.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I
yeah, exactly. Enough.
Fed up.
Enough. Yeah.
Fed up. It was stupid. Totally.
Yeah, right.
For a few weeks, I was like, it was just
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the vulnerability, of course, because the self has invested a great deal of time, energy.
Yes.
It falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Could there be a relationship, in a very simple way, or disappointment has continued? And there are still some echoes, and therefore the disappointment is stopping the passion coming back. There's still, because when we feel disappointed, we don't feel alive to the passion. I just wonder if there is, may not be, if there is a relationship.
I'm not sure.
No.
I believe, I don't know, it's just a speculation. To
yes.
say yes or no, it's just a speculative
all
answer
right.
for me.
Okay.
I can guess that there's fear involved.
Yes.
Fear. Passion used to be my major coin.
Yeah,
my major
nice.
Asset,
yeah.
my major
yeah,
resource
good.
For everything.
Yeah.
And I guess the loss, the lack of passion
yes.
is frightening me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like I comes up to my mind this metaphor about this football player that he lost, you know, or the beauty queen. She
yeah, yeah.
She lost her beauty, or you know, I lost
exactly.
my passion. I,
yeah, yeah.
So
it happens.
So,
if,
what can I do in this world without it?
No, no, no. It's an important, important question. In the knowing of yourself, if the passion did resume, would it go back to 90% into the work?
Resume means?
Come back.
Come back.
If it came back, would it be to repeat the history?
my experience from the last, my last venture.
Yes.
Is different.
Mm.
I was very passionate.
Yeah.
And I, it was 50%.
50%.
Yeah,
all right.
Just,
all right.
Giving a figure, but
yeah, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
Okay, and I was very passionate about my last venture.
Yes, yes.
So it's not
right.
that I
totally lost in it.
No,
not lost. No, no.
no.
no. is it, in hard material terms, presently not possible to start up a new business? That's not in the immediate future, and therefore it's to think about what is the passion, and also where would you direct it if you're not applying it into a start-up business?
That's exactly
the question, the issue.
Yes, that's exactly the loop.
Yeah, the loop, exactly. So the work stimulates the passion.
Yeah.
The work goes, and the passion goes with it. So it's become, the passion, or at least half of it, is 50%, has been rather dependent on the work.
Mm-hmm.
Since in the last few months, let's say, or this year, has there been any emergence in any direction of any kind of passion?
Signs, you mean?
Yeah, anything where the... felt.
Are you talking about work?
No.
Ah, in general?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes, but not at work. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Dare I ask, outside of work?
Sure.
Where did the passion go?
Variety.
Such as? If you wish to say, you don't have to say.
No problem. relations with my daughter.
Yeah.
Relations with the other.
Yeah. What about
music?
Oh, good. I was just about to ask. Arts, sport, nature, etc.
Yeah.
And of course, family and friends. Can all of that, though it is spread out, passion with work is a concentrated event. You know, it's morning, afternoon, maybe evening, or whatever. Open question. Can the passion generate itself in several directions for you?
Yes.
And it does?
Yeah, but it does not leak to the domain that it's needed right now. it definitely does.
Yeah. So that's certainly emotionally a healthy sign, but it's not leaking, you said, in there. Is it simply because the hard reality is there's not the opportunity because there's not the potential or a new line of work? Or is it you're not especially interested in it?
The opportunity is not there. It's me to create. And I, it's like I... everything that I have tried in the recent months to check, to get into, to consider, there was this lack of energy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like dead.
Yeah, yeah.
No interest.
Mm.
It's like, you know, yes. Like
it.
And it seems like chronic.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's temporal, I don't know, but at the moment it feels like it's chronic.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about it.
Yeah. Sometimes when there is a fairly significant break from the past there, and as we were just sharing together the inquiry previously, there is a kind of landing in the unknown there. And in the immediacy, nothing is sparking the passion. You know, it's just, as you say, it just isn't there. It may be that the passion for work, business, making money, it could be that that has gone. And that will require some trust and some patience and letting with other areas of the passion flow so that you can move through the unknown period to see what the next major known is for you. It's not there. You said it at least 3 or 4 times. That's the fact. That's the truth of the moment at the time. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It could be somewhere in the deep. Your work making money passion, that there is a significant disconnection from it. And that you're going to have to be patient with to see what comes out of it. It will feel chronic in the unknown, I agree. It's not easy. And it may be, if the passion starts to come in, because you're still sharing it, which is important, there may be some other expressions of livelihood which are not so tied to making money and business building. There may be something else that comes through that you might find more fulfilling. But it's going to need some real steadiness with the unknown. When I listen to you, I would say this period of your life is pretty important. Pretty important period. Hang in. Stay steady. And where you can give the love and the passion and all the ways that you can give, keep that flowing, keep your heart life alive. There. It will also keep you receptive. And something may then emerge which you've never even thought about. It's never even crossed your mind in your whole life, and you know it's the right thing to follow.
This thought.
Yes.
About the possibility that this old love of mine has just dropped.
Yes.
Has arose.
Yeah.
In this, and I was frightened.
Yeah.
This thought.
I bet.
No. It's just a thought.
Hmm.
That's my inner dialogue.
Yes.
In a way, it's like this is my expression in this world for the last 2 decades plus, I'm frightened from that possibility that you just mentioned.
I know, I can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
It has also an existential aspect, you know.
Of course it does.
People are supposed to to finance themselves, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, the pressure is immense.
It's another aspect we were talking about.
But one's got to listen to the authentic, which is the deep, and which is true as it is at this period of time. And the true is that there has been, not invited, but a break from the old, where the passion was directed from 90% to 50%. But it was directed in that way. That got stopped. And of course, many people are experiencing, in the kind of economic times we are living in, obviously you're not alone in this. And nothing, not only is nothing appearing, but there's nothing of the passion moving towards either. That's the truth of the moment, of this particular period. And it genuinely is not an easy one to stay with, because it's the unknown. We often prefer the known and the habitual, business of making money, to the unknown. But the unknown has infinite possibility in it. And to see what might emerge out of it. And it is important you keep your feeling life really alive, and you do that by those other areas. Otherwise, you'll get depressed.
Yeah.
So the feeling life needs to move, and the sharing and immense appreciation to you for sitting and speaking so openly and honestly here. That's, you know, again a sign of, you know, inner health. But you're in the unknown. But it's not a bad place to be if you can stay with it.
This particular moment, it's a very great feeling to hear what you say and to sense this unknown domain.
Yes.
I will keep it this moment. I will keep it because I'm clear about it.
Five star.
Right now.
Five star.
Excellent. Five star?
Yeah. Okay. Five star. Six star. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Lovely. Good to talk with you. Thank you. Thank you. What's the time? 8:13. Oh yeah. So we'll have a couple of quiet minutes, and then for me, I'll just give a short reflection on the inquiry this evening. With the two inquiries tonight, there are some, of course, clear differences, but there are also some common threads as well. In response to the first inquiry, the story or the stories which we have, and you know, they have a large place in the scheme of things. Human beings love to share the stories, and of course, history weaves in and out of countless numbers of stories. But sometimes they can be a kind of spell of just going from one story to the next, living in a world of stories there, and sometimes when the interest, as we were listening to the inquiry, fades, or the passion fades for stories, there, then deeper than the stories, or so to speak, behind the stories, we begin to realize that the stories are dependent upon, and one aspect, a deep one, is dependent on the feeling. So when the feeling element is not going to the story, it can then go to life without the story, as we were listening to. And that can touch a precious place of love and beauty, of sadness as well, but a sense of the rhythm and the flows of life, and this is where the importance of the intimacy is. And with that, because the story is the known, the unknown begins to have a rather particular importance to us. There's a certain kind of, as I mentioned, receptivity through the unknown, but there is it's not an ignorance, because there is a knowing that this is an unknown, but in that unknown, much which is deep and profound and precious can begin to move through. And there are countless expressions of what can move through the unknown. And the Buddha's teachings ultimately, consistently point to the limitless. We get so used to living in the limits of the situation, or the limit of our story, or the limit of our idea, or the limit of our views and opinions, or the limit of our information. But always it's pointing to that sense, and as we were listening, towards the limitless, which has no limits to it, and therefore is not confined. So the unknown brings the receptivity, things can touch us deeply, and there's the intimacy, which is so precious, of life unfolding, and with it, sense that this is, it's just limitless. And if we forget, just look up at the night sky, just how vast and limitless all this is. And we can know that because we belong to the limitless. We're not confined by the story. And again, sometimes life and the dynamics of it kind of shows to us that how vulnerable our choices are. So we make the choice to start a business, we make a choice to earn income, and have a conviction and passion, but the vulnerability of life is how results are so dependent on the vast. For any event to happen, it's a huge number of conditions. And suddenly that which we put so much love and time and attention, boom, it ends, it breaks, it stops, it's finished, there. And sometimes it's hard to attend to all the feelings, sometimes you just want to steer away from feelings totally. And some people, of course, will then turn to food, or to alcohol, or to drugs, or lots of sleep, or just kind of withdraw like a tortoise, you know, pull in and hold the feelings in so one doesn't have to feel what's happened there. But hopefully, and all being well through a difficult period, there that emerges out of that and one begins to feel again with the sadness. And the Buddha's never given teachings on the ending of sadness. It's not a teaching which is in denial of the importance of sadness there. And there is a sadness when the attention turns to the past. And sometimes there is a sadness that with the loss and some disappointment, the human element, that what happened, as you said, what happened to my passion? Where the passion has gone. But the whole being has had such a shock in the loss, sometimes more than what we realize, that it takes a while for the being and the passion to start coming back in. And it is important that we recognize the places, you know, a lovely communication with the daughter, being with good friends and culture and music, all of this, those important signals to revitalize the passion, as well as the reflection, as well as the silence and nature and the meditation, can all revitalize. And still, with the revitalization, it may not be in the same degree as before, that in that revitalization, there is still the unknown. Even when working, even in the story, there is still so much which human beings just can't know. We're human creatures. But if we can learn to actually love the unknown and appreciate its transformative potential, the fear will go. And it isn't easy to stay with the unknown and recognize its, keep it with us, as you were saying at the end, and stay steady with it, and then to see what emerges out of it. And the potential is limitless. Human beings are blessed with infinite possibility. And that's where the nature of the infinite and the unknown and human capability can really have a meeting point. The limitless is transcends the story. Thank you. Let's have one quick minute and then a break. May all beings explore change. May all beings stay steady with the unknown. May all beings be receptive to the limitless. Good. Thank you for lending an ear. Thank you for coming.